One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to the Blake Winchester Loves America the Most podcast show on the Freedom Flame Podcast Network. This isn't just another podcast. It's a battle cry. A battle cry in the war for America's soul. Blake Winchester doesn't just love America, he's here to save it. If you're not ready for hard truths and even harder consequences, turn back now.
Patriots, Thanksgiving isn't just a holiday. It's a sacred tradition. A day to celebrate the greatness of America, our shared history, and the freedoms that brave men and women fought to secure. And, as I've said many times before, it's also the perfect opportunity to remind your loved ones exactly where you stand on the issues that matter. Because, frankly, what's family without a little spirited debate over mashed potatoes? This year, I decided to take Thanksgiving to the next level. Not just any Thanksgiving, but a Trumpsgiving, a celebration of gratitude and the man who, in my humble opinion, embodies everything that makes America great. To commemorate the occasion, I went all out. MAGA centerpieces, a playlist of Trump's greatest rally speeches playing softly in the background, and the pièce de résistance, Donald Trump commemorative plates for each of my guests. Now, you'd think that such a thoughtful gesture would be appreciated. You'd think people would feel honored to receive such a priceless keepsake. But apparently, some people just don't understand the value of history. The trouble started as soon as the guests began arriving. My brother Kyle was the first to show up, carrying a bottle of wine that he probably bought at a gas station. "Hey, Blake," he said, glancing around at the red, white, and blue streamers I'd hung from the ceiling. "Festive, huh?" "Festive?" I scoffed, gesturing to the living room, which I'd transformed into a patriotic wonderland. "This isn't just festive, Kyle. This is a tribute to freedom." Kyle gave me one of his usual smirks, the kind he wears when he's trying not to argue. "Cool, cool," he said, handing me the wine. "Where should I put this?" "Right in the trash," I wanted to say, but Brenda shot me a warning look from the kitchen. "On the counter," I muttered, reluctantly taking the bottle. The rest of the family trickled in soon after. My cousin Jenna arrived with her new boyfriend, who introduced himself as Dylan, and immediately made me suspicious. He was wearing skinny jeans and one of those scarves that doesn't look warm enough to serve any practical purpose. The man had liberal written all over him. "Nice place," Dylan said, looking around. "Is that a framed picture of Ronald Reagan on the mantel?" "Yes," I replied, puffing out my chest. "And over there, you'll find a limited edition plate featuring President Trump shaking hands with the American Eagle. I had it custom made for this year's Thanksgiving." "Oh," he said, blinking. "Neat." By the time everyone had arrived, I was already feeling the strain. Brenda kept whispering for me to tone it down, but I couldn't help myself. This wasn't just a dinner. It was a statement. And that statement was America first. "All right, everyone," I announced as we gathered around the table. "Before we sit down, I have a little surprise for you." From beneath the tablecloth, I pulled out a stack of shiny red boxes, each containing a Donald Trump commemorative plate. The room fell silent as I handed them out, one by one, explaining the significance of each design. "This one shows Trump at the Lincoln Memorial, symbolizing his place in the pantheon of great American leaders," I said, placing a plate in front of my Aunt Carol, who looked at it like I'd handed her a live grenade. "And this one," I continued, giving one to Kyle, "features Trump standing on the steps of the White House holding the Constitution. It's a reminder of his dedication to the rule of law." "Wow," Kyle said, his voice dripping with sarcasm. "This is something." The mood shifted quickly after that. Jenna's boyfriend, Dylan, leaned over to her and whispered something that made her laugh. Too loudly, in my opinion. Aunt Carol excused herself to use the bathroom and never came back. My neighbor, Greg, who I'd invited out of charity because his wife was working, kept glancing at his watch like he had somewhere better to be. "Isn't anyone going to say thank you?" I asked, my voice rising with indignation. "These plates are collector's items. Future generations will treasure them." "Blake," Brenda said, placing a hand on my arm, "maybe we should just sit down and eat." "I'll tell you what we should do," I snapped, pulling my arm away. "We should take a moment to reflect on what we're thankful for. And I'll start. I'm thankful for a president who put America first. I'm thankful for someone who fought for the little guy, who..." "Blake," Kyle interrupted, raising a hand. "Can we just eat? I'm starving." I ignored him. "And I think we should all go around the table and share what we're thankful for. Starting with you, Dylan." Dylan looked up, clearly caught off guard. Okay, he said, glancing at Jenna for support. "I'm thankful for Jenna, I guess." "Jenna?" I said, narrowing my eyes. "That's it? Nothing about this great nation? Nothing about freedom?" Sure, he said awkwardly. "Freedom too, I guess." "You guess?" I demanded, my voice rising. "Do you have any idea what people like me have done to protect your freedom?" Things only went downhill from there. By the time I finished my rant about the importance of gratitude, half the guests were making excuses to leave. Jenna and Dylan were the first to go, mumbling something about traffic. Aunt Carol texted from the bathroom to say she wasn't feeling well. Greg stood up, muttered something about forgetting to feed his dog, and bolted for the door. Within 20 minutes, the only people left were me, Brenda, and Kyle, who was eating stuffing directly from the serving dish and pointedly ignoring my glares. As I sat there, staring at the empty chairs and the stack of abandoned commemorative plates, I couldn't help but feel confused. How could they not see the significance of what I was trying to do? How could they reject the gift of history, the gift of patriotism, the gift of Trump? "They just don't get it," I muttered, shaking my head. "They get it," Brenda said, standing up to clear the table. "They just don't care. Patriots, let me tell you something about commitment. Commitment isn't just about showing up on the 4th of July wearing an American flag shirt. It's not just about saluting every bald eagle you see. No, commitment is a daily, unrelenting effort to uphold the values and symbols that make this country great. And for me, That commitment took the form of a 3-year crusade. Yes, 3 years. To secure enough Donald Trump commemorative plates for every single person at my Thanksgiving table. You see, these plates weren't just available at any store. No, you couldn't walk into a Walmart and find them sitting on a shelf next to your everyday dinnerware. These plates were exclusive, the kind of exclusive that only late-night television infomercials can deliver. It all started 3 years ago. I was flipping through the channels late one night, unable to sleep because I'd eaten too much chili at dinner. Suddenly, there it was, an infomercial that felt like a divine intervention. On the screen was a plate so majestic, so awe-inspiring, that I nearly fell off the couch. It featured Donald Trump standing atop a gleaming White House, flanked by two golden eagles, with the words, "Making America Great Again," emblazoned in bold letters around the rim. The voiceover promised that these plates were handcrafted masterpieces, fired in the finest kilns of patriotism. And the kicker? They were limited edition. I knew in that moment that I had to have them. Not just for me, but for my family, for my friends, for anyone who needed a reminder of what true greatness looked like. The catch? You could only order 3 plates at a time. Now, most people would have stopped there, satisfied with their 3 plates. But not me, patriots. Oh, no, I wasn't about to let corporate policies stand in the way of my mission. So I stayed vigilant. Every night, I scoured the TV listings, flipping through channels in search of that infomercial. And every time it aired, which wasn't often, I picked up the phone, ordered 3 more plates, and added them to my growing collection. For 3 years, I lived this double life. By day, I was Blake Winchester, husband, patriot, neighborhood watch captain. By night, I was Blake Winchester, midnight marauder of late night TV, dialing 1-800 numbers with the urgency of a man on a mission. The plates themselves were worth every sleepless night, every frantic phone call. Each one was a work of art, capturing Trump in all his glory. My personal favorite depicted him standing in front of a massive American flag with 2 eagles perched on his shoulders like they were his personal advisors. In one hand, he held the Constitution, in the other, a hammer. Behind him, the wreckage of the World Trade Center loomed, and he was meticulously piecing the towers back together, brick by brick, like they were Legos. It was a powerful image, symbolic, heroic, and deeply patriotic. Another plate featured Trump riding a Harley Davidson through the clouds, his hair whipping in the wind as fireworks exploded in the background. The tagline read, "Riding to Freedom." It was so inspiring, I considered framing it and hanging it over the mantle. And then there was the Commander-in-Chief Special Edition, which showed Trump standing on an aircraft carrier, saluting while jets streaked across the sky. The plate had a gold trim that the infomercial described as 24-karat gold-inspired, which I think we can all agree is just as good as the real thing. When I finally amassed enough plates, 20 in total, I felt a sense of triumph unlike anything I'd experienced before. I imagined the looks of gratitude on my guests' faces as they unwrapped these treasures, the way they'd marvel at the artistry, the symbolism, the sheer weight of history these plates represented. So you can imagine my disappointment when, instead of gratitude, I was met with indifference. The first sign of trouble came when my neighbor Greg unwrapped his plate and said, "Oh, a plate." "It's not just a plate," I corrected him, my voice tinged with irritation. "It's a tribute to American greatness." "Right," he said, setting it down on the table. Then there was Aunt Carol, who squinted at her plate like she couldn't quite figure out what she was looking at. "Is that Trump with eagles on his shoulders?" she asked hesitantly. "Yes," I said, beaming. "It symbolizes his unwavering strength and his connection to the spirit of America." "Hmm," she said, placing it back in the box. "Interesting." Even Brenda, who had rolled her eyes at my plate-buying crusade, but had grudgingly agreed to support me, couldn't hide her discomfort. "Blake," she whispered, "maybe next year. Just go with candles or something." "Candles?" I hissed. "Candles don't inspire patriotism, Brenda." The worst moment came when I saw Jenna's boyfriend, Dylan, sliding his plate under the table like he was trying to hide it. "Is there a problem?" I asked, my tone sharp. "No, no problem," he said quickly. "It's just, I don't really have anywhere to put it." "You don't have anywhere to put it?" I repeated, incredulous. "This plate belongs on a display shelf, Dylan. It's a conversation starter, a piece of history." "Uh-huh," he said, avoiding my gaze. By the end of the night, I realized most of the plates had been left behind, abandoned like unwanted leftovers. My guests had taken their meals to go, but left the true treasures of the evening sitting on the table. I was heartbroken. How could they not see the value of these plates? How could they not understand the effort it took to collect them, the passion behind the gift? "This is why America's falling apart," I muttered as I stacked the plates, each one feeling heavier than the last. No respect for tradition, no appreciation for greatness. Brenda, ever the pragmatist, patted my shoulder and said, "Maybe next time, try just a thank you card." Brenda's comment hung in the air like a lead balloon. "Maybe next time, try just a thank you card." For a moment, I stared at her, stunned by the audacity of her words. A thank you card? Was that what we'd come to? Reducing the essence of American greatness to a flimsy piece of paper scribbled with meaningless platitudes? My jaw tightened. My hands gripped the edge of the table so hard I thought I might leave fingerprints in the wood. "A thank you card?" I repeated, my voice low and dangerous. Brenda sighed, clearly sensing she'd stepped on a landmine. "Blake, it's just people don't care about plates the way you do. It's not a big deal." "Not a big deal?" I said, my voice rising with each word. "Do you have any idea how much time, effort, and money I put into these plates? Do you know how many nights I spent glued to late-night TV, dialing 1-800 numbers like a patriot in the trenches of a cultural war?" Brenda rolled her eyes, and that was the final straw. Something inside me snapped. "You know what, Brenda?" I said, standing up so fast my chair toppled over. "Maybe you're the problem. Maybe you've never truly supported me. Maybe you're just a Democratic whore." The room fell silent. Kyle froze mid-bite, a forkful of stuffing hovering in the air. Jenna's boyfriend, Dylan, muttered, "Whoa," under his breath. Even Greg, who had been quietly edging toward the door, stopped in his tracks, his mouth hanging open. Brenda blinked at me, her face a mixture of shock and fury. "What did you just call me?" she asked, her voice dangerously calm. "You heard me," I said, doubling down. "You've never believed in me. You've never believed in Trump. And don't think I haven't noticed how you watch Rachel Maddow when you think I'm asleep." "Yeah, that's right. I've seen you, sitting there with your wine and your smug little smile, nodding along like she's some kind of prophet." "That's ridiculous," Brenda said, her face turning red. "I don't even like Rachel Maddow." "Oh, sure," I said, pacing around the table like a caged animal. "You don't like her, but you won't even pretend to understand my vision. You won't stand by me when I'm trying to educate our family on what's right and wrong. And you sure as hell won't participate in any of my requests in the bedroom." At this point, the remaining guests exchanged uncomfortable glances. Jenna mouthed, "Bedroom?" to Dylan, who looked like he was seconds away from bolting. Kyle leaned back in his chair, sipping his wine like he was watching a particularly juicy episode of reality TV. "You want to talk about my shortcomings, Brenda?" I continued, ignoring the fact that everyone was now fully engrossed in our argument. "What about yours? How about the fact that you refused to try the patriotic role play I've suggested? How many times have I asked you to wear the Betsy Ross outfit? How many times, Brenda?" "Are you kidding me right now?" Brenda said, throwing her napkin onto the table. I'm dead serious, I shouted. Do you have any idea what it would mean to me, to this marriage, if you just embrace your patriotic side for once? But no, it's always, Blake, I'm too tired. Or, Blake, I'm not putting on a powdered wig. Do you know what that does to a man? Do you? Greg coughed awkwardly, inching toward the door again. You know what, Blake? I think I'm going to head out. Oh, don't let me stop you, Greg, I snapped, waving my arm dramatically. Run away, just like everyone else in this godforsaken family. God forbid anyone support me or my plates or my vision for this great nation. Brenda stood up, her face set in stone. You're insane, she said, her voice cold. Absolutely insane. And you're a traitor, I fired back. A Benedict Arnold in yoga pants. Without another word, Brenda stormed out of the room. I heard her stomping down the hall, followed by the sound of her grabbing her coat and keys. Moments later, the front door slammed, rattling the windows. For a moment, I just stood there, breathing heavily and glaring at the empty doorway. Then I turned back to the table, where Kyle, Jenna, Dylan, and Greg were all staring at me like I'd grown a second head. What? I demanded. Kyle raised his hands. Nothing, man. You do you. I'm just saying, Dylan said nervously, maybe you could have handled that better? Handled it better? I repeated, my voice dripping with sarcasm. Sure, Dylan. Let me just sit here and let my wife insult my plates, my beliefs, and my patriotism. That's what a real man does, right? The room fell into an awkward silence. Finally, Greg muttered, well, this has been something, and hurried out the door. Jenna and Dylan quickly followed, leaving only Kyle, who stood up, stretched, and said, well, I'm taking the stuffing. Later, bro. As the door closed behind him, I was left alone in the wreckage of my Thanksgiving. The table was still set, the plates gleaming under the light of the chandelier. For a moment, I felt a pang of regret, but then I shook it off. They didn't understand. None of them did. But one day, they would. One day, they'd see that I was right all along. Patriots, I sat at that table for hours after everyone left. Just me, the plates, and the eerie silence of a Thanksgiving that had gone terribly wrong. The turkey sat untouched, its once crispy skin now sagging and cold. The mashed potatoes had crusted over in their bowl, and Brenda's green bean casserole, a dish I've always found mildly offensive, mocked me from across the table. I wasn't sad. No, sadness wasn't the right word. I was betrayed. Betrayed by my family, my friends, and worst of all, Brenda. How could she not understand? How could any of them not understand? Those plates weren't just a gift. They were a symbol, a declaration of my values, my commitment to this country, and my undying loyalty to the greatest president this nation has ever known. And yet, they rejected them, rejected me. I replayed the night in my head, moment by moment, trying to make sense of it all. Had I been too harsh, too passionate, too patriotic? No, that couldn't be it. If anything, I hadn't been passionate enough. I thought about Brenda's parting words. You're insane! Absolutely insane! Was I insane for wanting to preserve the sanctity of Thanksgiving? For wanting to share a piece of history with the people I care about? Or was she insane for refusing to put on a Betsy Ross outfit when I'd gone to the trouble of ordering it in her exact size? The more I thought about it, the angrier I became. Brenda had always been lukewarm about my vision for this family. She'd never truly supported my campaigns to bring patriotism into every corner of our lives. She rolled her eyes when I replaced the garden gnome with a miniature Statue of Liberty. She sighed heavily when I suggested naming our dog Reagan. And now this. It was clear to me, sitting at that table, that Brenda had chosen her side, and it wasn't mine. I got up and started pacing the room, my thoughts racing. What was I supposed to do now? Thanksgiving was ruined, and Christmas was just around the corner. Would I even bother inviting anyone this year? Would Brenda even come back? And if she did, would she finally take my requests seriously? As I paced, my eyes fell on the stack of plates I'd so carefully collected over the years. I picked one up, the one with Trump putting the pieces of the World Trade Center back together, and stared at it. The eagles perched on his shoulders seemed to be looking back at me, their eyes full of judgment. "You understand, don't you?" I said aloud, addressing the plate. "You get it. You know what I'm trying to do here." Of course, the plate didn't answer. But I felt a sense of reassurance all the same. These plates were my legacy. They were a testament to my dedication, my perseverance, my belief in the greatness of this country. And if my family couldn't see that, well, that was their loss. I decided then and there that I wouldn't let this Thanksgiving be the end of my crusade. If anything, it was a wake-up call, a reminder that not everyone has the courage to stand up for what's right, but that doesn't mean you stop fighting. The first step was to regroup, to strategize, to figure out how to make the next holiday even more meaningful, even more patriotic, even more me. The next morning, I woke up to find the house eerily quiet. Brenda's side of the bed was empty, and her suitcase was gone. I found a note on the kitchen counter, written in her neat, precise handwriting. "Blake, I need some time to think. Please don't call me. I'll be staying with my sister for a while. Brenda." I crumpled the note in my fist and threw it in the trash. "Fine," I muttered. "Go ahead. Run to your liberal sister's house. See if I care." But the truth was, I did care. As much as I hated to admit it, Brenda's absence left a gaping hole in the house. Without her, it felt empty, too quiet, too lonely. I spent the rest of the day cleaning up the aftermath of Thanksgiving. But every plate I picked up felt like a reminder of my failure. The food, the decorations, even the leftover wine from Kyle, it all mocked me. By the time I finished, I was emotionally drained. That night, as I sat alone in the living room, I found myself reaching for the remote. I flipped through the channels aimlessly, looking for something, anything, to take my mind off things. And then, as if by divine intervention, there it was. An infomercial for Donald Trump commemorative Christmas ornaments. "Patriots, I won't lie to you." In that moment, I felt a spark of hope. A new idea began to form in my mind, one that could redeem this holiday season and prove to everyone, including Brenda, that I wasn't the problem. They were. As I spent that long, quiet weekend in the house, the weight of what happened began to settle in. Thanksgiving wasn't just ruined, it was sabotaged. Brenda, my so-called partner, had openly mocked my vision. My brother Kyle and cousin Jenna had laughed behind my back, and her liberal boyfriend Dylan had dared to dismiss my plates, the ultimate insult. But perhaps the worst betrayal came from Brenda herself. She packed her things and left for her sister's house, leaving me to sit alone in the wreckage of a Thanksgiving that I had so carefully planned. And that's when I decided, if Brenda wanted to abandon ship, fine. I'd steer the ship myself. Step one, change the locks. The act of changing the locks felt symbolic, like a reclamation of my own fortress. As I stood on the porch, drilling the new deadbolt into place, I couldn't help but think about the founding fathers. What would George Washington have done if his closest allies had turned their backs on him? Would he have rolled over, defeated, and let them tarnish his legacy? Of course not. He would have fortified his position, drawn a line in the sand, and said, "This far and no further." That's exactly what I did. The Winchester home would be my sanctuary of truth, a place where the values of tradition and patriotism reigned supreme. If Brenda couldn't support that, then she didn't belong here. Inside, I spent the weekend cleaning up the aftermath of Thanksgiving, though every task felt like a bitter reminder of my family's betrayal. I stacked the abandoned plates on the counter, each one more beautiful than the last, and felt a pang of sorrow for how they'd been treated. The plate with Trump and the two eagles rebuilding the World Trade Center left untouched. The one of him saluting on an aircraft carrier, ignored. Even the Harley Davidson Riding to Freedom plate with its stunning depiction of Trump tearing through the clouds on a motorcycle had been left behind. These plates deserve better, I muttered as I carefully wiped each one clean. This family doesn't deserve them. As I worked, I couldn't stop replaying Brenda's parting words in my mind. You're insane. Absolutely insane. It was a dagger to the heart. The woman I'd shared a home with for years. The woman I'd asked to wear a Betsy Ross outfit to rekindle the spark in our marriage had turned on me. And for what? Because I asked her to believe in something bigger than herself? Maybe you're the one who's insane, I said aloud, though there was no one there to hear it. Maybe you're the one who's lost her way. But not everyone had turned on me. Amid the wreckage of Thanksgiving, one glimmer of hope remained. Brittini. Brittini was Brenda's younger sister, a woman I'd always found intriguing. She was confident, sharp, and, as my Uncle Ray used to say, a looker. While Brenda had mocked my plates and dismissed my vision, Brittini had been polite. She'd smiled at me when I handed her the plate featuring Trump at the Lincoln Memorial. She'd even chuckled, albeit briefly, when I showed her a Trump meme during dessert. She gets it, I thought to myself as I cleaned the table. She understands me. All weekend, I found myself thinking about Brittini. She'd stayed late after Thanksgiving, helping Brenda in the kitchen and chatting with me as I showed her my collection of patriotic memorabilia. While the others had rolled their eyes or whispered behind my back, Brittini had smiled and nodded. She even said, "That's interesting," when I told her about the plate featuring Trump holding the Constitution. I remembered how she'd made eye contact with me all through dinner, her gaze lingering just a little longer than necessary. I knew she was just being polite. After all, Brenda was right there, but I couldn't shake the feeling that there was a deeper connection between us, something unspoken. By Saturday morning, I decided to reach out, not in a creepy way, of course, just a casual text to let her know I appreciated her support. I scrolled through my phone, looking for the perfect Trump meme to break the ice. After much deliberation, I settled on the one where Trump is photoshopped onto Rocky Balboa's body, with the caption, "Making America Strong Again." I hit send and waited, and waited. Finally, a notification popped up. Brittini had given it a thumbs up. My heart swelled with validation. She understood. She cared. Encouraged, I sent another meme later that afternoon. This time, the one where Trump is riding a bald eagle into the sunset. But this one didn't get a response. Neither did the next three. Still, I wasn't discouraged. I told myself she was busy, probably helping Brenda unpack or dealing with whatever liberal nonsense her family was spouting. The lack of response didn't mean she wasn't interested. It just meant she was playing hard to get. On Sunday, I decided to take things a step further. Brenda had left me a note saying she needed time to think and would be staying with Brittini for the foreseeable future. I saw this as an opportunity, not to interfere, of course, but to show Brittini that I was the kind of man she could rely on, the kind of man who took action. I sent her another text. "Brittini, I know things are tough with Brenda staying at your place, but I want you to know you're a beacon of strength in this family. If anyone can handle it, it's you. God bless." I debated whether to add a Trump gif, but decided against it. This wasn't about memes. It was about connection. When she didn't reply, I told myself she was overwhelmed. After all, hosting Brenda couldn't be easy. But deep down, I knew she'd read the message, and I knew she appreciated it, even if she didn't say so. As the weekend came to a close, I felt a strange mix of emotions. On one hand, I was more determined than ever to hold my ground, to fight for the values that had made this country great. On the other hand, I couldn't stop thinking about Brittini. Her smile, her laugh, the way she'd looked at me across the Thanksgiving table. I told myself it was harmless, just a friendly connection. After all, I was a God-fearing man of principle. I would never cross any lines. But still, I couldn't help but wonder what might happen if Brittini ever truly saw me for who I was, a man of vision, of conviction, of unwavering patriotism.
You've been listening to the Freedom Flame Podcast Network, where truth burns brighter than the lies of the mainstream. If you haven't subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? Real patriots don't hesitate. They take action. They stand tall. They hit that subscribe button like their freedom depends on it, because it does. Don't be the weak link in the chain of liberty. Subscribe now, or spend the rest of your days explaining why you let your country down when it needed you most. The Freedom Flame is watching. America is watching. Make the right choice now.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at Kosai.org.